Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello there and welcome to another episode of Four Times Our Podcast. You join us on Tuesday the 10th of January. It's just about 8 o'clock at night and there's three of us that are here today. It's myself, Darren, and I'm with Tony and Danny tonight. We're just going to discuss the Kilmarnock game from the weekend. We'll discuss the sort of transfer rumours about incomings and outcomings, and we'll also take a look to this weekend's League Cup semi-final against Kilmarnock at Hampden. So, Danny, I'll come to you. We'll start with Saturday's game. It was a pretty routine 2-0 victory. I know you didn't see much yet, but I'm sure you've caught the highlights since. It was a pretty, I don't know if I'd say poor first half, but it wasn't many chances. Kilmarnock seemed to set out their stall to no play any type of football. But we also got the breakthrough in the stroke of half time when Jota got in front of the keeper and put us in. Second half came out and got the second goal, but apart from the post and the bar, it would have been a lot more comfortable victory. So, what did you make it? As I say, I know you didn't. You were on the ethics. It was you were celebrating your birthday. But what have you thought since then?
I didn't get to see. I only seen the first half really, and I thought we were quite methodical. And sometimes it takes a wee spark. You know, you need to get the goal before you can turn it on a wee bit. But this time, like this season, we've been able to play really well, start early in a lot of the games at home and score, and then you kind of take it from there. But it was a wee bit different Saturday. Like you said, I don't come out with any interest in it other than a draw. I might be nicking something for a set piece, but they were very, very unambitious. It really was just a matter of time before Celtic scored, and it was just a case of when and no if that they got the goal. Second half, what I've seen in the highlights was a lot better. Tati seemed to come into his end in the second half as well and really start playing, and then you get a second goal and, you know, you can take, no, you're fat off the gas, but you know you've got a 2-goal cushion against a team that will get any interest in attacking you, so it's another 3 points. And it was actually good for a change. For the first time, I think, in a long time, we played before the team that are in second place in the league, so it was good to put a bit of pressure on them. I know they went one on Sunday, but it was nice to be able to play before them for a change. But a good win after last Monday, and now, as you say, you can look forward to the semi-final. I thought it was an off strong performance for Johnson at right back. I think he properly get involved in the attack and he can defend as well, and I think he looks like an excellent addition so far.
Yep, definitely. I thought he played very well. We obviously spoke about it last week in the pod, but was delighted the team finally got that clean sheet at home. It has been the first one since we had one in the derby in September, so obviously teams been playing well in that time, but it was good to actually keep the back door shut for once. And I thought Kilmarnock were embarrassing. I know they're just a newly promoted team, but I've never, like, from about the fifth minute, they were time-wasting. They were just, as I say, I thought they just seemed, like, completely uninterested in attacking. Like, they were constantly up against it and didn't have any sort of get out. They didn't leave anybody sort of forward to try and get them out. But yeah, I thought Celtic played well enough the first half. I thought it was a really good matchup with Dyson Maida and Kilmarnock right back. His name escapes me, but I thought he was really... It was a really good test for Maida, and he was one of the few defenders that I'd seen who was able to match Maida for pace as well. So apart from that, and I didn't think there was any sort of positive for Kilmarnock. Sorry, on you go.
The boy Mayo, he's actually in loan for Rangers.
All right, well, he's fucking terrible. I'll edit that bit out then. But no, I actually didn't know that, but I actually thought he did match up Maida pretty well, to be fair. But ultimately, Celtic came out on top. Good to see Jota back on the score sheet and... back from his illness or whatever it was. But Tony, I'll come to you. I know you were there on Saturday as well, and sponsors gave Rio Hatate man of the match, and that just leaves us asking, is he good enough?
Yeah, he's definitely good enough. I don't know, what that was a strange question that was asked, but I guess it's always good to generate debate/abuse. But I thought Hatate's second half was excellent. Some of his plays just a different level altogether. Apologies again. People can probably tell that my voice is still fucked. Copious amount of booze at the weekend didn't help me whatsoever. But I thought the first half was fucking garbage, to be honest. I thought it was so bad. To be fair, I was full of booze, but I just thought it was dead boring. We couldn't really get going at all. And then we get the goal at the end. I think it's a finish. Second half we dominate. We should have scored another couple. There was a kind of passage of play when Forrest hit the post and managed to miss quite a good few chances. But overall, you kind of take it. We went 12 points clear. It's obviously back to 9 now. Get that clean sheet that we were talking about. We hadn't had one at home for over 4 months or whatever it was. Just over 3 months, sorry. But I don't think there was any major injuries unless I'm missing anybody. I thought it was a reasonably... easy game. You would hope it puts us in good stead for the cup final. I would like to think we can raise our levels again, but first half dose of great, second half very comfortable.
Yep, definitely. I think it's a game that won't live long in the memory, so we'll move on now. We'll come back to the semi-final towards the end, because I don't think it's possible to speak about Kilmarnock for a sustained period of time, so we'll touch back in the semi-final after we discuss the transfer rumours that are going about. And Danny, I'll come with you. We've got a few to touch on. The real interest seems to be from Monza for Josip Juranovic. There's a lot of credible sources are saying that a deal's pretty close, and the rumour is it'll be a loan with an obligation to buy, and the fee will be roughly about £7 million. So, first of all, I'll ask you two questions. Do you think it's the right move? And just something that's been playing in my mind, do you think it's the sort of being that Celtic have had the intention to sell Juranovic and they've got his replacement in, and that perhaps the interest that had been sort of touted in the summer and during the World Cup just hasn't materialised?
I've actually got no idea, because watching that quarter-final against Brazil with Croatia and the write-up that Juranovic got at half-time after BBC, you're just thinking to yourself, Celtic could name their price here for Juranovic. And he got a lot better as the tournament went on. He didn't disgrace himself in any of the games. I mean, he struggled, I think, at the start. But at Brazil game, he'd Vinicius Jr. back-pocketed. You would have just thought Celtic could have named their price to anybody. And then you see £7 million, and you think, well, there must be a clause. But if there's a clause for £7 million, surely somebody else other than Monza would have had a pop at that price for him. So it's a strange one, all right. I mean, he's not away yet. I mean, it looks like Torino are in for him now, and there's talk of teams in England maybe sniffing at, like Fulham are sniffing at him. So you never know. I mean, they might still go for a pretty penny, but I don't know, I just think there's maybe a change in the transfer strategy at Celtic now. Whereas instead of selling one every 2 years for, you know, 15 to 20 million to keep taking a keep this going and what their strategy is, maybe they just sell 4 or 5 at 7 to 15 each, or whatever they can get. I mean, there's Yaki Wakis, the clubs that he's linked with.
Do you know, Danny, it's funny you say that. I was actually speaking to somebody about this last night. I think that could be the case. You're looking for making, say, 5-6 million profit on these players. Do you think it's the case that maybe the club can think it's more sustainable to punt players for that sort of profit rather than sell one Kieran Tierney level player for every 5 years?
Well, it could be. I mean, you look at, as you say, look at Ange, right? We got Ayer, who was at 14, and we got Edward, who was about 14, and Christie, which made up about 30 million, right? And you look at the squad, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Juranovic's a £20 million player, but evidently no, judging by what's happened, but, or what's happening at the minute. But maybe, I mean, Ange kind of said about fans getting ready to lose these players and need to be ready for it. And what if they do just bring them in for two or three and sell for 8 to 10 and they just keep doing that? I mean, is it sustainable in the long run? I don't know. Is it going to wield any more difference from what we've been doing? Whereas you do try and sell one for 15 to 20 million every 3-4 seasons. Because, I mean, who's likely to go next? I mean, you're talking about those two going, that would make, for what we're hearing, would make around about 14 to 15 million.
I think somebody like Abada would maybe make that sort of profit.
Abada keeps going the way he's going, he'll be 15 to 20. I mean, Jota should be 15 to 20 million. But maybe instead of, as well as that, maybe you do punt the other players as well. I mean, maybe you do punt the kind of players that are maybe a step below them and try and sign their players. But that would mean signing players on a volume, which Celtic have never really done. But I know we've done that last year. We bought another players in the summer. We bought an Ange. We seem to be signing more players under Ange, don't get me wrong. But it would seem to be you need to sign first team ready players. And I know Ange has done that. And maybe that's the way they are going to go. Maybe they just put faith in Ange and go with it. But I don't know. It's just I thought about when I seen the prices for both Jackie Marcus and Juranovic quoted around about 7 mil each. I was thinking, well, maybe they are just going to sell. Maybe they're going to raise 30, 40 million that way by selling 5 or 6 players rather than selling maybe 2 or 3. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's odd. I think after the World Cup, Juranovic should be. He should have. His agent, I mean, I don't know if his agent set him down the river, I don't know. It seems that Celtic are pretty content to let him go because they've already signed his replacement and spent, about £4 million on him. So, I mean, it's an odd one because I think Juranovic is a very good player. But it's a strange one when you're thinking where the clubs that it was linked to, like Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, and obviously a lot of that's paper talk, but you had like, you know, I know he's no fucking the guru, but you that Fabrizio Romano talking about it. I know he just gets stuff off agents and other people, but he said I think Atletico Madrid were looking at him. So how, I mean, this thing about Monza being big bucks, I mean, 7 million is not that big a fee. No, I mean, Celtic could probably comfortably pay that for, but definitely could comfortably pay that for a player, and you wouldn't say that they're mega bucks. So I don't know where it's came from. I mean, maybe he wants to test himself. Serie A is obviously a higher level, but he's played 6 games in the Champions League. Didn't think he was particularly amazing in the Champions League, but maybe he just wants to try to sell at a higher level every week.
I think it could be, obviously. Also, there's no been anything confirmed about a release clause, but it does seem like a pretty low fee, obviously. He's 27, so he's obviously not got the potential as the likes of, like, say, Frimpong, who we got double digit for, or Tierney, that obviously they had age on their side and a lot more potential, whereas Juranovic is maybe one that he's still got a good few years ahead of him, don't get me wrong, but he's one that once you turn the side of 30 and you start to lose a bit of pace, etc., then your value will decline and the chance of going for more money is just really not there. But I don't know, it's, as you say, like, he's obviously took the step up from Legia to us, played in the Champions League. I know he didn't have the greatest time, but he was up against Mudrik and Kunku and Vinicius Jr., so I think you can sort of forgive him that, but it is an interesting one. It's funny you'd say that about this sort of strategy, because I think especially where the players Ange's brought in, a lot of them are likes 22, 23 or 24, likes it is more sort of established, and even Alistair Johnson's 24, so it's like it is first team ready players by the looks of it. But it'll be interesting to see. Obviously a lot of people thought Juranovic's deal would have been done by now, too far into January, but it's the 10th of January as we record, and I think everybody does expect that he will go. But be good to see, because obviously the club will be looking to use that money to fund other signings that were after this month as well and beyond. But Tony, next one I'll bring you in on is Georgios Giakoumakis. It's a bit of a strange one. There had been talks that there's been a lot of rumours, whether it be that his family have now settled here or that he's on a lower wage than a lot of the first team, and Celtic won't give him an improved contract. But he's been linked to a few interesting teams from no sort of usual suspects. So you've got like Michelin from Denmark linked to him, and then even a team from the J League who are been heavily linked to him as well. Which do you think of the latest with Georgios Giakoumakis?
Fair, I did meet him at Livingston outlet. His wife's face was tripping us, so. I'm only joking, but I don't know. It seems a very strange move if he's gone to a team that isn't going to be anywhere near Champions League football. I don't know if it's just all related to cash, or to be fair, he's not been getting great game time either, so it might be a case he's fucked off. I mean, Kyogo's been really good this season, but I can imagine why he would feel a bit hard done by. He played a massive part in the title-winning season last year, and if he win the league again this year, he's more than played his part in big moments. I mean, he just at the beginning of last week, he set up Kyogo, he scored in the 96th minute against St Mirren. St Johnstone. So he scored the Champions League as well. So I like the big man, I must admit. He can maybe feel a bit aggrieved that he's not managed to get any start. I think when he put that thing on Instagram, it was a bit stupid. The kind of lead time emoji when he was coming on, a picture of him and Ange. So I thought that was daft. But no, same for Juranovic as well. If these guys do go, as much as I think they're moving to much smaller clubs than us, it might be double the money, and that might be what these guys are after. And here, fair play to them. Who are we to tell guys that have no real affiliation to Celtic who they can sign for? And I think the days expected players to stay here for the rest of their careers, it doesn't really happen. You've got the odd kind of ones that will happen, but it looks like Callum McGregor might be that. Obviously, James Forrest as well. But I think Big Ant's warned you that don't be getting too attached to players. Players will move on. I think it's fair to say Giakoumakis and Juranovic have been fan favourites during their tenure, but it gives more room for new guys to come in. Like Johnston's come in, and instantly I think people are happy with him. And if we can get the guy Cho, then hopefully he can do well as well.
Aye, I think the Giakoumakis one, it's about, there's a lot of timing today with it, because if you think about, like you mentioned it there, like, I know Kyogo's form since the World Cup has been tremendous and has sort of quietened the debate, but there's a lot of people that prefer Giakoumakis to Kyogo, and they have done, and it's a fair argument. Like, I think different games are suited to different players, but the fact that Giakoumakis hasn't had as many starts is probably a bit unfortunate, but a lot of he's doing it, you can't argue with Kyogo's numbers that he's returning. It's, I think if we were to get him in, similar to the way we got Alistair Johnston in, where you've got the player in before you sell, I don't think as much would be made. But I think the board are sort of getting away with it with Giakoumakis, if it is the case that he's not been given the improved contract that some say he'd been promised, or like it could be in a way. Like I'd heard rumours as well that sort of holding the club to a number that they just couldn't match. But it's I wouldn't trust the Celtic board as far as I could throw them. So like, I think they are getting away a bit scot free thanks to like the goodwill people have for Ange and how well Kyogo is playing, because this guy was the top scorer last season and he's only 28. It's not as if, like, aye, fair enough, if we did give him a big extended contract, you're not going to get a sell-on offer at me slightly. But I'm like you, Tony, I really like Giakoumakis, and I'll be disappointed if he goes, because if he does go, and I know we're still waiting, and I'm sure the board would replace him, but it's, If he goes and then Kyogo pulls up in the next game, then you're fucked. You're probably going to have to throw someone in from the B team, or that, like, or put Maeda in the middle. Like, I don't think we're really flush enough in that department yet to be happy to see Giakoumakis go. But it will be interesting, as you say. Like, I think the fact that these players come, they're melon entitled to go and get the best deal for them and their family and set themselves up for life. And if they can get 3-4 times the money that they're on at Celtic, then fair enough to them. Like, it's two players that have came here and done really well for us, played a good part in us bringing the title back to Celtic Park and qualifying for the Champions League as well, so I don't think we could have any complaints. But Danny, what about you? We'll touch on what you think about Giakoumakis as well, and we'll then move on to the potential replacement, who in the last hours or so, I think Sky Sports are saying, are still in talks with the South Korean club regarding Cho.
Aye, Giakoumakis is a fucking weirdo. I think he's just kicked Foss up because he's second choice to the top goal scorer in Scotland. And these fanboys, you'd think he was fucking Terry Waits, the way folk are going on, held against his will. I think Kyogo scored in every game, since, apart from that Aberdeen game, since we came back. So how should Giakoumakis start every week? Don't get me wrong, I think he's a highly effective player, but he's only really had a good 6 months for Celtic, really. Towards the end of last season, I had a good run of form in October as well, to be fair to him. But apart from that, he's been, you know, he's not been in the team. And I like him a lot, but this strikes the links with, like, Michelin and you are Red Dragons and stuff, just strikes to me that he needs he needs to be told how good he is, and he'll be number one striker, he'll be the main man, and players want to play, that's fair enough, but he's part of something an awful lot bigger here that is working. He's not scored, I think, since the Shakhtar game, would I be right in saying? I know we've had the World Cup and all that, but at the same time, Kyogo's no fucking missing the net at the minute, and I don't think we'll let him go without having a replacement, and I just think, I don't know, if right after Jackie Marcus in the last couple of weeks, just he's general kind of demeanour doesn't look great, but I'd love him to stay and keep contributing, because when he is on form, he's very, very good. But you know, Cho has been linked to an awful while. It's actually a bit like the Jackie Marcus rumour. It's the only one that really, Jackie Marcus is about the only player that's kind of went arms and legs instead of just signing him like they normally do underhand. So maybe that's a good sign that we'll get Cho in the end. But I don't really know too much. I watched him in the World Cup. I thought he looked half decent. I thought he looked all right, about a handful. But players are playing for their futures at World Cups, especially like, kind of the smaller nations than that. But you just think that it's got to be done. No, it's King. They were saying it's got to be done this weekend. So hopefully we do get him. I mean, Celtic have obviously identified him. Andrew's obviously identified him. So hopefully we do get him in, and then you can let Jackie Marcus go, and he can go and score goals in Japan or Denmark or whatever he wants. But I mean, they're another boy. Like, it's probably start. Maybe not like Juranovic, because Juranovic has carried himself really well. Jackie Marcus kind of the other. It's been the opposite side. I just think maybe Jackie Marcus fought all his goals at the end of the season, a goal in the Champions League. I think he probably just. To me, it looks as if he's got a bit of ideas above his station. Can he buy a goal at the minute? He's been really unlucky, but at the same time, if he wants to go, then good riddance, let him go. And I think if he hods us, you know, kicks a fuss up to us to get a move to Japan or Denmark, then I think we're well rid. We've got, if we get the boy coach Joe in, then we've got enough to. We'll not miss Jackie Marcus, I don't think, too much.
It'll be interesting to see. I think a lot of people this morning seem to be talking about how they don't think Joe's coming because it's not done already, and a lot of your deals under Andrew have been sort of just done and dusted. But I think it's a weird one because he's obviously a pure megastar in Korea, and there's been a lot of clubs linked to him as well. Clubs of Turkey, clubs of Germany, and I think even one for the MLS today as well. So he's obviously something that's in demand. But I think Celtic will look to get an answer one way or the other, because I don't, as much as I think if they get a decent enough fee for Jackie Marcus, they'll be happy to punt him. I don't think they would punt him without having a replacement either close to signed or in the building, but it'll be interesting to see. Another bit of transfer news, the last bit we'll sort of touch on the day, Tony, was apparently Celtic are now looking, or willing to listen to offers of Stephen Welsh. Obviously, there was a lot of Italian clubs linked with him in the summer. He's not really featured much this season through injury and the other centre-halves, I'd imagine, but would he be one that you'd be disappointed if he went? Obviously, we've got Starfelt and Carter Vickers as the main centre-half. You've got Kobayashi, who's just come in, and obviously Jens is there. I know he's only on loan, but that's probably four centre-halves that you'd maybe think were above Welsh in the picking order at the moment.
You know, I don't mind Stephen Welsh, but I just think the defenders we've got are better than him. And obviously, with Kobayashi coming in as well, it probably does make him fourth at best and probably fifth at worst behind Jen. So I think for his career, it's probably best he does move on. For me, I wish him all the best. Again, played his part. He kind of, the start of his Celtic career was in a really difficult time for the club when Lennon was in charge. I think one of his first ever games was the game we beat Rangers at Parkhead. So I couldn't have a game to kind of start with, but he got his league winners medal last year, won the league cup, played a lot of big games. So I'm not going to say I'm devastated he's gone. I'm not really sad to see any of the players gone, as long as the funds are reinvested and we get the players that the manager want back in. So I'm over the stage of being bitter or annoyed at people leaving. So for him especially, just wish him all the best. And I think he played his part as much as the other guys. So fair play to him.
I think that's fair enough. I can't see any way that he'd become a first choice starter this Celtic team in the near future. And look, he's somebody who's still relatively young. He's a captain in the Scotland under-21s. He's maybe a change of environment and will do him the world a good. And Danny, I'll bring you on. We were speaking about it earlier. You say he's somebody who, as much as you might think it's time for him to leave Celtic, you think it'd be quite important that we got a sort of sell-on fee or sell-on percentage inserted?
Aye, definitely, because I think he's a good player. And with a bit of natural progression that he should take for playing, you know, maturing my age plus playing 40, 50 games a season, then by the time he's 28, 29, he'll be a hell of a player. Ange obviously likes him, but he just kind of probably obvious that he wants to see him go and get game time somewhere else. So it's probably the right decision to let him go, because as Tony said, he's fourth or fifth choice. I mean, they even talk about Iwata can play at the back as well, so he'll probably be even further than the pecking order. And I just feel bad for him, because he had the two bad things have happened to him the last couple of weeks. He bumps into me before the Hibs game, and then he's told he's getting sold. I don't know if they're linked or not, but I'd like to apologise to him if they are. But no, good luck to him wherever he goes. He never disgraced us or anything like that. He took a lot of stick. I think he did a really bad game when Rangers beat us 4-1 in the COVID season. But I think he was a fucking young boy that shouldn't have been there in the first place. Matured a lot under Ange in the first season, played a lot of games, and played a few, you know, fucking playing the Champions League for his qualifiers, having Dane Murray at the back. I think I'm older than the two of them combined now. So wherever he goes, he'll go be my best wishes. And I hope he gets a good move, and I hope Celtic have got a handy sale on fee, because I can see him progressing into a very good player in these later 20s.
I definitely wish him well as well if he does in fact go. But next up, we will go back to the semi-final. Tony, Saturday night, 5:30 kickoff, League Cup semi-final against Kilmarnock. Surely they'll have to come out a bit better than they did on Saturday, or will they just play for penalties from the out?
I'd like to think we can win. It's a massive game, just to get in the first final of the season. Big pitch, everybody fit for a week's rest. Like to think we can beat them. I don't think they're a particularly good team. I don't think McInnes is a particularly good manager. So just need to be very professional about it. Hopefully we're not talking about VAR and fucking stupid cunt referees. So that's the only concern. But I'd like to think we'll have too much for them. We'll have it'll be like a home game. We'll have the majority of the fans. And that's a huge opportunity. We've had great success in the League Cup over the last kind of 6-7 years, so it'd be good to get to the final and have a chance to retain that trophy again. A good chance. We'll be playing Rangers in the final, so again, could be a tasty one. Even if it's Aberdeen, would be a good final as well. So I think we'll win 3-1, but I think it'll be reasonably comfortable. I'll go for who's going to score. Matt Riley's going to finally score. Maidle score, and Keogh will go score. And I'll make it 3-0. I'm not giving them a goal. Fuck it. Don't know where I get that for. 3-0. That's my scorers. I'm not giving Kelly fuck all. So I think that's what sees into the final, which I think is the 25th or 26th of February.
Aye, as indeed. Danny, what do you think about Saturday? It's obviously a one-off game. Will Kilmarnock just try and be as anti-football as they were on Saturday? Or will the big pitch and the sort of one-off occasion make them come out a bit? And will that just play in the Celtic's hands?
Well, they've got proven bigot Kyle Lafferty playing for them up front, who can play. That's good for them. But Kilmarnock will be playing for penalties for pretty much the first whistle, whether it's fucking penalties after extra time or whether it's VAR getting involved. Willie Collum's the ref. Considering last time he ref Celtic, he missed an obvious handball penalty. Probably wouldn't be surprising to see Kilmarnock get one on Saturday. But I'm with Tony. I think we'll be comfortable. The bigger pitch will play into our hands like it did on Saturday. They'll show any ambition. They'll put the ball up with Rafferty. He'll get away with elbowing Celtic players and kicking Celtic players. And then probably Carvacher's will get booked for nailing him. But once we score, we'll not look back. And I think it'll be, I'll go for 3-0, same as Tony. Maybe 3-1, because I think they think Kilmarnock will get a penalty. So I'll go for 3-1. I think there's no reason to question. No reason to say Kyogo will only score again. So he'll get one, and I think Maeda will get the other two. I think the bigger pitch will suit Maeda at Hampden. I think he's playing really well at the minute. Neil Carby's good for him half with two good goals, and we'll be in the final and setting up Sunday to see who's joining us.
I think it'll be pretty comfortable. I think Kilmarnock will try and stop us playing football, but we've got a great record in these competitions over the last decade, so I think that we will have too much for them. And I think that much like Saturday, it'll just be a case of how many. Like, I know it only finished 2-0 on Saturday, but between Jackie Marcus hitting the post and the bar, Forrest missing sitters, it would have been an absolute doing again. And I think we will geek them all like that doing that they deserve on Saturday. I think Kyogo will get a double and we will win 5-0, and the other goals will be shared between Cal McGregor, Alistair Johnston and Tyson Maeda. I think That'll be the other scorers. Andy has also went for 4-0. He says that he thinks that the big pitch will just benefit Celtic too much and Kilmarnock will be made to pay for it. But it will be interesting to see how it goes. We'll obviously hope to book a place in the final, set up a final with Aberdeen after Conor Goldson finally gets penalised for playing basketball on the weekend. But it will be interesting to see either way if we do get to the final, who we get. As Tony said, it'll be a tough game either way, but I think even more so if we do get drawn against Rangers in the final, then with him having a new manager, it'll be a pretty big game for both parties in terms of sort of getting that first trophy of the season. But we will be back after that semi-final and hopefully discussing Celtic into the final. We'll be back early next week and we'll also preview the weekend's game as well and any sort of transfer news that has developed that concludes or that emerges in the next few days. But if you've made it this far, thanks very much for listening. Make sure you're following us on our social media platforms. Just search for Four Times in a Podcast, you'll find us there. And cheers for listening.
And can I just wish a very happy Chinese New Year to our Celtics Asian contingent.
And we hope that they can make up with their Korean pals soon for the incoming show.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.